Andre Malhotra.
Mr. Matt Pena.
My guy, what is happening, dog?
Good to see you, bro.
Dude, I'm so excited to have you on. Hoboken Comedy.
That's right.
Taking over.
Little by little.
Little by little. Dude, what's even crazier is you had a colonoscopy.
Dude, fresh off morning. The tube, dude.
Dude, fresh off the tube. Fresh and you still came tube. Out to pod, which
yeah,
is
man.
Unbelievable.
I couldn't miss this, dude.
yeah,
I couldn't miss this.
You're being too kind. You totally could have
missed
this.
All the Miralax prep was for this, dude. It wasn't even for the colonoscopy.
You wanted the clean colon for the podcast, dude, not for
exactly squeaky clean, dude.
How'd it go? It was good.
Yeah, it was like a precaution thing.
Okay, gotcha, dude. More people are like, I'm gonna get a colonoscopy now. Like more dude, people our age are getting them.
Yeah,
colonoscopies are in, dude. They're like really.
I think yeah, it's like a fad or something. I got bit by the bug, dude.
Oh my god. So what made you get it? Was it like a recommendation by your doctor? Or?
Yeah, not really. If anything, I'm just hearing all these like stats of people in the 30s that colon cancer is like skyrocketing.
I've heard that. Yeah,
we're also like. Doing all these jobs on our tushes all the time, so like hemorrhoids through the roof, so like you can't really tell which is which.
Can we go back to jobs on our tushes?
Yeah.
What do you mean jobs
like
on our...
Like we're all behind the laptops and we're just sitting the whole day.
Oh, really? Dude, I thought you meant we were like shoving stuff up there.
Yeah, I mean some people.
Yes. Hating. Well, you know, No, that's so... I didn't realize... Okay, that makes sense. So... I'm so interested because I actually just went to my doctor.
Yeah.
And I had brought this up to him, and he's like, yeah, it's on the rise because people aren't getting enough fiber in their diet. And I have a theory.
Okay.
I think it's because Uber Eats is a thing, and you can get so much, like, bad food.
Yeah.
And processed food, like, at the click of a button.
And you're not even walking to the place.
And you're not even walking to the place. You're not doing anything. You're exercising less.
Yeah.
Dude, my cholesterol, ooh, boy.
Dude, same. My LDL is, like, I think a 112, which in general is not bad.
Oh,
but
dude,
for, like, our
mine.
Age
oh,
is,
yeah.
like,
this
you
is,
know.
Oh, God. Dude.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to tell you mine just because.
What's yours at?
Dude, it's bad. Dude. Okay, so regular range, right, is around 112 is high.
Yeah.
But it's not.
It's like moderately high.
It's like it's moderately like, high. I think you want like under 100.
Yeah.
Dude, mine was 239.
Bro, off the charts, dude. Let's go.
Dapping me up for that? Yeah. No, dude, it's bad. It's really, you know what it is? I think it's one, horrible eating, and then two, I've also... Because I'm so busy with the podcast, working on the solo show and everything, like I just sort of put my health by the wayside. And like I feel like it's tempting to be like, all right, I'm going to focus on comedy and work and I'm not going to do anything else. I'm not going to take care of myself at all. And what I realized is like I used that as an excuse to not do stuff and to not take care of my health. It wasn't like I was trying to take care of my health and do that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you ever find that's hard to balance?
Dude, 100%. It's like you can't. Ideally, you want to be healthy. You want to be in a certain amount of shape.
Yeah.
You want to also do what you love, whether it's comedy or some other, you know, form of an art or something. But like, you can't really pick them all. You have a social life. You have, you know, work and all this, and you can't. You got to balance.
That's
and
the thing.
Sometimes, like, if you're working on something, sometimes the focus is like, all right, we got a show in a month. Let me focus on that. We got the podcast. Let me focus. So I think like I get lost in this too, where I'm just so focused on what's the next thing that I'm willing to compromise the long term stuff.
Exactly.
And then it's like, okay, finally that's done. We can get back to this. But then there's like another focus, another goal down the road.
Right.
So you end up, and it adds up, and time goes so quickly. A month turns into a couple more, and all that. So next thing you know, we're having high cholesterol because
we're not even paying attention. So I'm trying to get better with that. You obviously didn't get the results back.
Yeah, no.
Did?
Yeah.
Clean bill of health?
It's clean. Dude, little hemorrhoid from sitting, but that's kind of like expected.
Listen, we've all got hemorrhoids.
Yeah,
you know
dude.
I mean? Sometimes they pop up, but.
Yeah, but
no,
other
dude,
than
that's
that,
good.
It was good.
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't realize when I was. Like, because they put, like, the anesthesia and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of chilling there. I thought I dozed. And, like, when I woke up, I thought I just dozed. And, like, they were done. But here, I dozed off. And then I hear them kind of talking about me.
Yeah.
As if they're about to operate. And I was about to be like, no. Like, I'm not asleep yet. Like, don't do it yet. And then I realized, I'm like, oh, they already finished. Like, they're completely done. They're like, you can sit up and everything. But for a split second, I was like, guys, hold off.
That's
like,
crazy.
Yeah,
it felt, like, instantaneous for you then.
Very
you
instantaneous.
That's...
Yeah.
Dude, the closest thing, I've never had like surgery like that before, but the closest thing I've had is just like, they gave me laughing gas to pull like my wisdom teeth.
Same.
And it's like, I was like in and out for that one. I was like, cause I felt them pulling around and I remember going out.
Yeah.
Then I remember coming back in, same deal, kind of woke up in a room like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Dude, that is.
Do you remember how like out of it you were when you came? back
I,
to Earth.
Yeah, I was, dude, I always have a fear, like, what am I going to say?
That was my fear, too. Dude, there was, like, a fear of, like, okay, if they find, I'm not expecting them to find something, but obviously that's in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
But my main fear was,
Find something, please.
I'm like, am I gonna say some dumb shit? Am I gonna wake up with wood?
Yeah, right. Like, yeah.
I was like, please, not those two.
It's
but
like, we went up there.
Yeah.
Your body seemed to really like it.
Yeah,
it's like,
right.
you find out something about yourself.
Right.
No, dude, I'm so happy. That's like clean bill of health.
Yeah.
Now,
man.
I've also heard for colonoscopies, they give you like this liquid where they like clean you out the night before.
Yeah.
How was that experience?
That is, apparently it's not as bad as it used to be.
Okay.
It used to be like a multi-day,
yeah,
like fast and just flushing. I looked at the instructions and it was just like, I think 4 p.m. You have to mix like the formula the night or the morning before. I call it like colonoscopy eve. That's
sure.
Like I'm referring to it. And so 4 p.m.
Santa comes up your chimney.
Yeah, right. That's good. But yeah, so like you know, you don't eat for the whole day. They say like drink just liquids, no colored liquids. So like,
okay,
I don't clear Pedialyte. If there's
no
like
Gatorade?
A
Gatorade,
no. Well, tough. Gatorade, they recommend Gatorade, just not like,
oh, cool,
the colored ones, which is pretty much all of them, unless,
yeah,
you're doing
like,
you
do like the
Propel or like Ice,
yeah,
or one of those.
Yeah, dude, I loved Propel.
Dude, that was my thing.
Oh, I miss Propel.
I felt
much
so healthy. It just seemed so clean, even,
yeah,
though it was just like sugar water.
Exactly,
but,
dude. Yeah, but you felt so good.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, the lemonade. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
Continue.
No, dude, you're good. But yeah, so they're just like hydrate, and then 4 p.m. start taking like 2 Dulcolax like tablets, and then mix like, it's a lot, dude. It's a gallon of like Miralax, so you have to do like, what was it, 16 scoops? That's like 17 grams each. So, and then it's like, okay, take the 2 pills, 15 minutes later, you drink the Miralax,
yeah,
and you do that for every 15 minutes until like the bottle's done. So you have to drink a gallon in like, yeah, so you're breaking it up like 16 times essentially.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so the hardest part of it was just like, once it, because it takes a couple glasses for the system to get going.
Yeah,
once,
yeah,
that happens and you're on the toilet, like that, the flushing part isn't the greatest, but it's more like you feel yourself losing nutrients because you're getting dehydrated by,
yeah,
the minute. So you're just like, every glass you can feel the like the nutrients leave you. So even though you're full as hell because you're just stuffed with liquid, it's important to get like, so I just had like the clear Pedialyte that I was trying to sip,
okay,
throughout. And you feel like almost immediately better. Like after a couple sips, I'm like, okay, I'm feeling,
gotcha,
a little bit. But it was like, yeah, it was pretty much like a hangover without like the anxiety and like pain. But just like that dryness you feel like the morning after.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, it's, I refer to it as a colonoscopy as like a reverse hangover, because the day before you have the shits and then you wake up feeling like, you know,
and you feel great.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like the anti-hangover.
No, it's good. And it must be just amazing to have that peace of mind that like it's all good down there,
yeah,
especially with like everything going on. I actually, you encouraged me. I got to make my appointment like after this, because I remember talking to my doctor and he was like, you know, go see the guy, the gastro or whatever.
Really?
So
he recommended it?
No, he didn't recommend it. He said it's like, I can do it, because I had a friend, his name's Matt Kasabian, he was on this podcast as well. He had ulcerative colitis, so he had an ostomy bag for a while too.
Okay.
And, you know, just be aware, and I don't know, does colonoscopy like scan for that sort of stuff, or is it just cancer? I would imagine they would be able to catch ulcerative colitis, right?
I think it would feel
right?
that too.
But it was basically just to be like, because I'm a little bit of a hypochondriac.
Same.
Yeah, because it's just like, I always think I have cancer or something like that, or I'm slowly dying, and...
Dude, there could be like... one symptom that might be anything, and you know, you go to WebMD or whatever, and that's the first thing I see is like, what's the worst case scenario of this?
Yeah.
And you know, there's always some symptom that just could be something else, and if it's like a cancer, if it's like some disease or something, I'm like, holy shit, let me look out for the other ones. Then your mind starts playing games, and
dude,
then
the worst thing now is ChatGPT to like with medical symptoms.
Have you asked it?
Dude, all the time. I'm like, it's so bad. I ask ChatGPT everything. But, and here's my rationale. I know it's like bad for the environment. We should be Googling things. Google's Gemini. So like whenever you Google something, it just gives you a ChatGPT answer.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, it's unavoidable at this point. But I was like, I remember, it's so funny too. This is how much of a hypochondriac I was. I woke up Friday or Saturday, I think, sometime this weekend. And I was fried. I like had no idea what was going on. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, I must be dying. Like whatever. And Taylor's just like, dude, you could just be run down or like have something. And I was like, no, it's definitely something.
Yeah.
Which isn't dramatic, but.
Yeah, dude, it's some days are like that. You kind of wake up and you're like, I'm not feeling it today. And you run to Google. Like I'm somebody who never has headaches. Headaches are so common for everybody. And I'm lucky.
I have a headache right now.
Yeah. It's probably because of me.
You. No. I knew that's where you were going to. I was like, no, that's not what I meant.
No, dude, so like I never get I also don't drink like caffeine, and I know if you don't.
Oh, you don't drink caffeine?
No.
You're
so,
a psycho. What do you do? Dude. How do you go through the day? What do you wake up to in the morning?
I'm just sleepy all fucking day, dude.
Dude, that's great. Did you used to drink caffeine and now you don't?
No.
You just
Every now and then I'll have like a tea that has like a small amount, but not like for that.
We have green tea with mint too if you want.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Would you like some?
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit. All right, you keep me posted.
For sure, but yeah, no, I'm just not a caffeine dude. I try to just get up early and like, I try to exercise as much as possible.
That's a good one.
Most days it happens. Yeah. You know, some days every now and then I'm like not feeling it, but I try to exercise and that for like a couple hours you are wired, you're good. Yeah. But then a couple hours later, it's almost like the crash from caffeine because your blood is flowing, your heart's pumping, you're in a good mood. And then after a little bit, depending on like how hard the workout is too, sometimes it's just, you know, 2 o'clock feeling.
Dude, it's the 2 o'clock or the 3 o'clock that gets me, that I always need caffeine and stuff. But also it's like, I want to be a morning person in the worst way.
Yeah.
And I can't do it, man.
Same, dude.
It doesn't help in my case how because Taylor, my fiance, is not a morning person, nor will I actually am envious her in a way because she has no desire to be a morning person. She's like, I know who I am.
Yeah.
This is what my life is. I'm gonna wake up when I want to wake up, and then I'm
she
just
knows what she wants.
Does what she
She's
wants.
Not like, I feel like I'm a fraud wanting to be a morning
That's
person,
what it
and
is,
I'm just
man.
Like,
yes.
Most I'd say 50-50 I am, but not to the point where like I want to get to the point where I'm waking up on my own at like 6 because it's like a Saturday and Monday through Friday. Is just the routine,
right?
Which I used to have at some point, but you know, you got to balance everything. Also,
that's the thing too. And a hard part for us is we're out late at night, right? So it's like a lot of times we'll be getting home maybe like 1 or 2 in the morning. Like I think you and I just took the bus back last week, and we got back. I think it was earlier. I think it was like 11:30 for us.
And that
was like,
not doing the that mic.
Yes.
That
oh we my were god! Remember we were on the wait list.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that was packed out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like we'll even get back super late, or like 11:30 will be early for us. By the time you get home, you have something to eat, you're ready for bed. It's like
And things with comedy so much is like spontaneous too, where it's like, hey, let's hit the show, let's hit this mic, or sometimes you get asked like a last minute spot, or just like, you know, there's a mic that's, you know, around the corner, let's try to hit this up. So
totally,
you know, you got to be like flexible for that too, where like you got to be aware that the next day might be affected, but it's something we just kind of have to do.
No, 100%. And you're bringing up something I actually wanted to get into, which is, I was thinking too, because I always try and start the episode with like how I know the guest or like everything like that. Dude, I don't no, I do remember how we met. Wow. I've been thinking all day and it just came back to me because we first met, you came to a show at the bookstore. Yeah, we usually record this podcast, but we're in my apartment.
I feel like this is like, you know, when a couple is like, do you remember our anniversary? And the guy's like 6 months off and the girl's like, no, that's not it.
You're like, no, I fucking came to a show. No, you came to a show, and you said it was your first comedy show.
It was. I went to a couple before, like, New York comedy. It may have been, like, my third or something, just in general.
It was, like,
going
early
to,
on discovering.
Yeah, I think I went to one maybe not even a year before that. For some reason, I like, never went to, a comedy show. That may have been, like, the first or maybe second or third that I went to. I do remember going to New York Comedy Club. But then, when I found out there was a bookstore show like around the corner for me, I'm like, all right, let's go check this out. You know, it's local, support local, you know, people and all that, and it's around the corner. We don't have to take the path or anything, so let's go check it out.
And then we met again after that, because when was that?
That was a couple months after. Oh, I was taking the Buddha class. And it was like, because they gave you like some mics to like practice your stuff for the like
was
last
I hosting
show.
Hosting those at that
you
point?
You were hosting at St. Mark's.
That's what it was. Oh, yes, with Josue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Josue Revillas, another hilarious comedian.
Shout
go check
out to
him
Josue,
out.
Josue, dude.
He's great.
But yeah, so it was you and Josue. And I remembered you from the show. And I was like, dude, you're now the one, you know, that ran the Hoboken bookstore. And from that, we're like, yeah, dude, like, you know, let me know if you're around. Let's hit mics.
And now we're the only two comedians in Hoboken. No, I'm just kidding. There are a lot of other wonderful comedians here. Well, it's cool, man. We're like getting a comedy scene out here, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like we're doing the bookstore show. You also have some stuff in the works. and there's like shows popping up all over. Yeah, now, man. So we're really doing
comedy
it.
Comedy this side of the river is starting to get its own scene.
Yeah, man, it's getting
It pretty fast. I know. You're starting to see pop up things like here and there.
I know, and it's so funny because like I talk to comedians all the time that come here to do the bookstore show and like other shows. They're like, dude, I love Hoboken. It's like the best kept secret of like
shit
New York.
On Jersey.
Dude, they
I'm
do.
Not going
they
to Jersey.
Know.
Once they come to Jersey, it's
that's
like,
right.
You know, this ain't too bad.
I used to have a New York license. I'm going to tell you what. I like my Jersey license better. That's right. I like that
actually,
it says New Jersey.
For real? You had a New York license?
I did have a New York license.
Was it your fake ID?
No, my fake ID was from Pennsylvania.
You remember what town? You remember your address for your fake ID?
Oh, no, dude. I'm trying to. Oh, and that's exactly where my mind went to. I don't remember my address. I remember it was from Pennsylvania, and I remember I got it from, I had placed an order with a friend of a girl I dated in college. We broke up, but I still was getting fake IDs for me and my friend.
Nice.
So I had to go to her.
Still the guy.
Yeah, still the guy. So I was like, hey, I know we broke up, but I got to get the fake ID. So I showed up in her like suite area, which is like where the dorms were, and it was just dead silent. All of her girlfriends were staring at me because they hated me. And they're like, all right, here's
like, what the hell could you want?
Yeah, exactly.
So you got some balls showing up here.
Sorry, I just want to get all this illegal documentation. Yeah. I gave her the cash, and she gave me this manila envelope, and then I walked out. That wasn't very interesting, but yeah.
Like
where was your fake
like
ID
boss,
from?
Dude, mine was, this was funny, it was from Hartford, Connecticut. I don't remember the address or anything. I remember looking up on Google Maps, like just putting random addresses to see if this is an actual address just to like have something. And I was like, okay. And it was like off some parkway or some stuff, but it was an actual address.
Okay.
It could have been a business, could have been a home. I have no idea. But it was Hartford, Connecticut. And I remember maybe within a year, maybe within 6 months, whatever, my friend ended up moving to Hartford for an internship that summer.
Yeah.
So I ended up going, hanging out with him. We went to like a Lil Wayne concert, and I remember using the fake ID there. And I'm like, oh.
In the same state?
In the same state, like a moron. And I'm like, this is so ballsy, I can't do this. But I was hammered, so I was like, fuck it. What's the worst that could happen? And like for the first two people, it worked. So I'm like, this thing is foolproof, bulletproof. I'm getting past everybody. So it worked for like the first two, three people. Then it was, we were at a Lil Wayne concert. And for like the younger folks selling beer, either they didn't give a shit or they couldn't tell. And there was like one elder lady that was like, sir,
no.
Either you're, you know, you can get this back, but it's going to be with the police or you're just going to have to surrender it. And at first I'm like, it's real. How am I going to drive back? Hammered. I'm like, how am I going to drive it?
How am I going to drive
Yeah, like a genius.
As you're hammered.
Yeah. And she's like, sir, you know. And she could have really screwed me over, but she, you know, she was nice about it. So,
that's,
yeah.
I feel like
so I got it taken away in the state and city that I supposedly lived in.
That's crazy. Yeah. I'm glad it worked for you. Do you remember, did it scan?
I think it did.
I think mine did, too. That was a big thing. I remember it was like, did it scan?
Yeah.
And you had, I have no idea what scan means to verify it or whatever. That's nuts.
ID Chief, man.
ID Chief, man. That's the website?
Yeah. What was yours?
Dude, they got it from like some foreign country. Like I don't know, it was in Asia. I don't remember the name of the country, but it was just like I remember they were like, "This is gonna take 5 weeks."
It was like the sheen of ID cards.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, 5 weeks. I got a drink now.
Yeah.
Which is actually a great segue. Which might have been the greatest segue ever into a low point for a podcast. Which is Andre, you texted me before, and you sent me a list of topics we could talk about. And one thing that stood out to me was you wanted to talk a little bit about your relationship with alcohol.
Booze, man.
With
yeah.
booze. Has that, now, is that your vice?
I don't think so.
Because you said it's not like, you said you wouldn't call, you wouldn't identify as like an alcoholic, right?
No, it wasn't, I wasn't the dude to like go home and crack one open and just watch a game or anything. If anything, I hated drinking at home. It was mainly to like socialize.
Gotcha.
I just love socializing. Just going out, friends, Zog.
Are you an extrovert?
I'm a little bit more introverted now just because not being like, you know, out and about and like drinking and all that. So I'd say it's toned down, but I think I'm more of an extroverted person than an introvert.
That
I do like my alone time a lot, but I also have to like, it's like a phone battery. You charge it. Once it's 100%, you gotta unplug it and like consume it.
Sure.
So it's like once I feel charged, it's like, all right, let me spend this battery and all that. But I was definitely more extroverted then, and I haven't drank it about like maybe 8 months or so.
Okay.
8-9 months.
Just now, are you like, was that what happened 8 months ago that made you be like, I'm gonna stop drinking? Was it like a big thing, or was it just like, let me see? Because I know some people that go sober and they're just like,
I kind of wish it was like an epic thing. I tried to do Sober October.
Okay.
And I botched it. Not horribly. Sure. I drank maybe a couple times during Sober October, and I was like, all right, that was botched. Let me try November. And I did it in November. And then I was like, all right, November is like, you know, Thanksgiving holiday. That's a big drink holiday. TGE, Thanksgiving Eve, that's a big drink holiday. You went through all that, fine. You know, I guess some parties or whatever. And then I was like, all right, let me just close the year because it's just like another month.
Sure.
So let me do that. So, and then dry January is the easiest because everybody's doing it.
Right. Nobody's out.
So
drinking,
at that point, it was 3 months in. And then I'm like, you know what? We're already 3 months, 90 days. That was, you know, easier than I originally thought. Let me just keep going. So that's kind of it. I also did take a break from, this was in 22. I remember the date. It was 11/11/22.
Make a wish.
Yeah, right.
Sorry.
And then,
so stupid.
And then it was till my 30th birthday, which was March 12th. Okay. So this was 2023. So that was 120 days of no booze. So
that's your longest record.
Yeah, well, up until that point, yeah.
Up until
now
that
it's
point.
Like eight. That was 4 months. Now gotcha. It's like, I think, 8 or 9
which
months,
is my
whatever.
My horrendous
it is.
Ability to not do math. Which sounds like 120 days. What is that? 11 years?
Yeah, right. It's a math.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my God. Nobody wants math. Nobody does. Nobody wants that.
Yeah, but it was but the thing with that is that it was like, okay, from this day to this day, we're just gonna take a break.
Sure.
It was like, okay, at the end of that, back to normal.
Back
are
to
you
going.
Gonna cut down a little bit? Yeah, that's the game plan. Yeah. But it was like, this is from day one to day 120, and that's just like the game plan. But there was like a finish line of like, okay, it's until this time I can go back to doing dumb shit again. Whereas now it's like, you know, maybe if there was a huge reason or a huge story behind it, I would have been like, this, I can never do this again.
Sure.
I'm like open to doing it again. It's more the streak that's just like,
I know,
I've
you
want to
keep
so
it alive.
Long.
Yeah.
I've gone to like weddings, holidays, birthday, everything you could possibly name without booze that at this point it's like, well, what's going to break the streak, if anything?
Right.
So,
and I want to get into like more of like the relationship and like with alcohol and like what you were doing and stuff. But I have heard from so many people that quit drinking that they feel amazing.
Yeah.
Like, have you experienced that?
I do like not waking up like hungover and just groggy and the anxiety and all that.
Oh, the anxiety is the
worst. Yeah, it kind of sucks. I do feel good, but there's still more like, I don't know. I thought I'd feel even better, if I'm honest. Because a lot of people are like, oh, it's like mental clarity.
Sure.
You just feel clean overall. Then again, like, alcohol is not the only thing you consume. You can quit alcohol. And a big thing I know is pretty common with people that like cut cold turkey is that their sugar cravings go like through the roof.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
Because alcohol has like a lot of sugar there.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, so your sugar cravings go through the roof.
Wow.
And I remember the first time I did it from 22 to like my 30th birthday. My sugar craving just skyrocketed, and I'm like, what is this?
Wow.
Like, how I was never a sweet tooth and never had a sweet tooth. I was never ordering dessert at restaurants, never have a pint of ice cream or anything. And here I am like that guy now that's just craving sugar, always having like a candy bar at home. And I remember looking it up. I'm like, oh, that makes completely sense. That
did that? And again, I don't want to call it addiction because it's not that, but that craving, did you find that like it had moved over to sugar completely now, or was it just like I guess like you were always in control, but in other words, like, were you just like, oh my God, I need candy like right now or anything?
Yeah. I mean, I was more in control than I guess. Yeah. I was in control most of the time. There was those nights where I'm just like, what the hell is happening? Like, and sometimes the issue is like you get used to actually functioning normal. That, you know, sometimes, like, in college and stuff, you have those stupid nights where, like, you know, how'd my shoes get in the dryer? And one's, like, you know, in some other room. Like, you have those, like, dumb stories. But, you know, a lot of times you, like, don't remember and everything is normal. My clothes are hanged. Everything is, you know, spotless clean. Like, I'll even clean up after myself, after coming back to the apartment and all that. And I'm like, this is actually pretty good. Like, this is cool. So it's like, I would trust myself that even no matter how slosh I'd get somehow, even if I don't remember, I'd be back home like safe. Every now and then something would happen where I was just like, what? Like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
You know? And I think one of those was, so this actually happened after the first like break of booze.
Okay. Gotcha. So you're how old at this point?
30. Yeah. 30.
Okay.
This was maybe around this time 2 years ago or so.
2 years ago, okay. After your first, the 120 day break.
Yeah, so, okay. Which was crazy because, like, your body, you know, the tolerance goes down. And then once you start drinking again, it's just like, you know, you're a lightweight, of course. Mm. And everybody's, well, I can't speak for everybody, but at least mine was, okay, we know how good it feels. Let's kind of tone it down. You can drink if you want, but, like, let's tone it down.
Sure.
And at first, you do a great job because you're fresh off the, you know, yeah. off the clean,
right.
however long that was. But after a while, you slowly get back into what was happening, and you just get slaughtered again and, you know, just getting hammered. So at one point, I remember it was like a several-day bender, and one night we just, like, went out drinking, like, nothing crazy, and the next morning we went golfing, like,
yeah,
really early. After that, we went to, like, a concert in New York, so the booze just, like, kept flowing. After that, we hit up some bars in New York. After that, hit up bars in freaking Hoboken. So we're like, you know, six like different drinking instances for
right.
the day.
In a row. Yeah.
Starting at like 7 in the morning. And I remember we ended at the Shannon, which is like 2 blocks from my place. And I was walking home. And the next thing I know is I wake up and I stand up and I'm on the sidewalk. Yeah, it's 6 in the morning.
Oh,
I'm on the freaking sidewalk.
So you didn't even make it home?
I didn't even make it. I think I sat down for something. I forget what it was. I somewhat remember sitting down. I don't know if it's... I have no idea why. And just, like, the next thing I know, it's 6 in the morning. I'm just... And I stand up, and I don't even for sure know if I was, like... I could have just been sitting there, like, awake. That could have just been, like, a blackout thing. I could have been asleep. I have no idea. But the first thing I remember is I stood up, and it wasn't until after I stood up, I'm like, I'm not home. Like, I am.
My God.
This is shitty. So that was one where, like, and then the next day was just awful. I went to a Yankee game the next day.
Dude, get out.
And
you went out after that?
I went to a Yankee game the next day. I drove to the Bronx, and I have never.
It's like Mega Horn Day at the stadium.
Yeah, dude, it was.
Everybody say yeah on three.
I was just like, holy shit. I remember driving over there, being some people, and was just like, you know, the anxiety's through the roof. I started to feel like, you know when you're like leaning on your leg and your foot falls asleep, or you do the same thing with your arm. I felt that feeling just like in without that happening.
Yeah.
I just feel like tingles like in my fingers, my toes, my mouth, everywhere where like
and
my
like your body
where the blood
so,
flow
yeah.
isn't going, even though nothing is like, you know, pushing down on it. So I was like, this fucking blows. So
oh my God.
But
was there ever a previous time where like something that extreme had happened, or was that's like the most extreme?
There
was
one time I was really hungover for a wedding.
Okay.
And same thing. It was like a multi-day bender.
Yeah.
The night before we just same thing, golf. Everything from
right,
7 a.m. to like 2 a.m. just straight drinking, and then for the wedding, I was just not there. I was like, man, this is,
yeah.
And I felt shitty because it was like one of my, you know, best friends, and I'm like, come on, man, you got it.
I have a wedding story like that too.
Yeah,
I've told it before on the pod, but the short version is I'm a fiend at welcome drinks traditionally.
I can see that, by the way.
Dude, I'm so...
You're a great host, dude.
Dude,
yeah.
I appreciate
the host of the party.
Well, I'm just so excited because it's the first night everyone's there,
yeah,
and like, there's so
dude.
Much energy. I'll pound drinks. And the problem with me at weddings, and my fiance knows, is that I've never been a problem or anything at a wedding. But like, if there is an open bar,
you're
that guy. Cannot stop.
Yeah.
And it's like, I need to work on that. But there is a threshold where I will reach and I'll be like, okay, I will just keep going and drinking and drinking and drinking.
It's hard not to. Dude. The music is pumping. You're seeing people you haven't seen in years.
Well, that's the thing. And you just like, you lose control after a while, you know, and just in the sense of like, being able to make good decisions. And I know we're not saying anything like, you know, revelatory here, like or anything, but, you know, I got so drunk at welcome drinks that I woke up the next day and I was hungover, but I was still like functioning. So I was like, all right, let me go for a 3-mile run and sweat out the booze. So me and a few friends like went, and the short story is I got dehydrated. So dehydrated, I had to go to the emergency room.
Mm.
Dude, I missed the wedding.
No.
Yeah. And then I showed up at brunch the next day, like acting like nothing had happened.
Yeah, like, hey, everyone.
Yeah, I was like, hey,
great,
how's
great
it going?
Party, right?
Yeah, so they didn't know, which was great. That's exactly what I wanted, and they found out after. But
oh, really?
Yeah, because I didn't want to.
So you
I
kept your cover until.
I did.
How'd they
friends,
find out?
So oh, my friends at the wedding kept my cover beautifully, because they were basically, the couple was like walking around. They were like, hey, where's Matt? We're going to do the high school picture. And then my friends were like, all right, let's take the picture.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? Like,
just
so
rolling
they,
with it.
Yeah, so they, and they had my dinner too, which was good. It didn't go to waste. They were like, your steak was really good.
Good friends, dude. You covered
great
for
friends. And so the next day I showed up at brunch, and they were like, because, you know, you're the couple's so busy, they don't notice anything.
Yeah.
So it was just like, I was like, hey, guys, this is a great party. They were like, thanks for coming, everything. And then one of my good friends texted me while he was on his honeymoon. He's like, are you okay? I just heard. I was like, dude, you're on your honeymoon. I'm fine. Go ahead and do your thing.
Dude,
but I
that's wild.
That is crazy, man. But I want to go back. So, like, when did you start drinking, Andre? Because I think a lot of people have this relationship, myself included. Maybe I'm speculating or projecting or whatever. But I think a lot of people have this relationship with alcohol where it's not necessarily an addiction, right? But in the cases of, like, you or me, like, we really like to party sometimes, and I don't drink as much as I did, but there was a time where, like, I would go out and I would black out, and it wasn't something that I had to do every night, but when I did, I would just binge, and I, you know, and I would do crazy stuff. So, like, because for me, that happened in college a lot. Was that the same for you, or?
Yeah, I think college was when, you know, just parties left and right.
Yeah.
Someone's got a fake, or you know people that have, you know, real IDs and all that.
And it's so ingrained at the culture there.
Yeah.
That it's like hard not to partake, because then you feel like you're not, you feel like if you don't drink, then you're missing out on a social life.
Right.
You know, so it's very like indoctrinating in that way.
For sure. And yeah, it's like now if you don't drink, it's now it's more of like not just a trend, but like, you know, especially at our age, people are like kind of. Either you cut back a little bit or you take a break, whatever. But in college, especially when we went to college, that was like, well, you're not coming out. You're not drinking. Like,
dude, that
so,
was a thing. It's And it's a thing with guys, too. And I don't know if you felt
the beer bongs and all that.
Oh, dude, the beer bongs are fun. Did you ever do, what is it? It's a shot. You take a hit of a bong or a rip of a bong.
No.
You shotgun a beer, and then you let the bong rip up. I did that once, and I threw up.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what is it? It's a shot.
It was a beer. It was a shot. You take a
hit of a joint.
A
okay.
You shotgun a beer, and then you let the joint out. I think I did that once, and it was horrible. But for my 21st birthday, dude, like, I lived with guys that like to party so much that they were like, let's do 21 shots for your 21st birthday. And I didn't do 21 shots, but it's like I did a lot.
Yeah.
You know, my 21st birthday. Nuts. Yeah, dude. My 21st birthday was like awesome, but it sucked at the same time, because I remember I was like, all right, we're going to do something big for my 21st birthday. And I had I was like, all right, I'm going to invite everybody I know on campus. And I was involved in a lot of different groups. I had my improv group friends, tour guiding friends, like, you know, friends, like that kind of thing.
Eagle Scout
friends.
Hell yeah.
If you know, you know. And but I was like, all right, everybody get here 9:00. And it's like 8:55. No one's there. And my housemates are like, dude, nobody's coming. Then it's like 9:05, 9:10. It's like a few people trickling in, like my close friends. And they're like, dude, nobody's coming.
No.
Dude, 9:20, 9:25, still nobody. 9:30, like literally within a span of 5 minutes, my apartment is wall-to-wall packed with
you're
people,
about to
dude.
Throw in the towel.
Dude,
like,
I was ready.
Dude.
I was like, nobody's going to show up.
My
it was
friends
like,
are flakes. They I'm, suck.
Dude, I not even exaggerating, not trying to boost my own horn, but it was like 60 people in my apartment. It's a great time. Dude, I got so drunk. I like went into the other room with my girlfriend at the time, and I was like, dude, I was started crying, and I was like, it's like one of those, and I was like, I just don't think you like me for me, and I kind of, it was like that, one of those kind of nights.
One of like the beer tears nights.
Yeah, the beer tears. Yeah. Oh, dude, get them so much. And then,
and on
then
the 21st.
Well, on the 21st birthday,
happens,
and people are chanting, where's Matt?
And you're in,
it was,
the,
and
room
in the room
over.
Crying. They went out without me.
Did they really?
Yeah,
oh,
dude.
Shit.
Yeah, I didn't even get to go out, because I was like, I don't even want to go out anymore. I just want to like hang out.
And then Buzzkill guys, you guys have fun.
I was like, you guys go. And then we did break up, so it's I'm very happy now. But
it wasn't that night, was it?
No. It was very prolonged. It was a prolonged, like, 2 or 3 years later.
Okay.
It was one of those. Was your 21st birthday fun? I like how we're just, like, talking about how alcohol is.
I know, right? Like, we're like, it's
we had so many good times.
I'm on a health kick, but like, do you remember in remember in college, dude? 21st birthday. I remember the day of was like it was during spring break, but it was like a weekday, and I didn't like. When was it? My 20 senior year. I turned 21 in junior year. 22, I remember going to, like, Miami and stuff. But 21, I didn't really do anything big. I remember, for the weekend of my birthday, I think we just went to, like, the local bar or something.
Okay.
It wasn't anything, like, crazy. Although, in my mind, I wanted some epic, like, night out, something crazy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think we just ended up going, like, to, like, local bar in Philly where I went to school.
Totally. And I think, like, you know, we, like, bring alcohol up, like, as a low point. Yeah, we are talking about these, like, times and whatever that, like, we've been drinking and stuff. But did you ever associate like drinking with, and again, I'm not trying to project or anything, but like, did you ever associate drinking with like sadness or anything? Were you trying to fill a void with alcohol? Like, is that why you identify it as a low point?
No, I think it's,
you're like, nah, man, it was awesome.
No. Honestly, maybe it's very, I don't know, but it was just like I tend to have like an addictive personality. So
yeah.
I get into something that I like and that's all I want to do until like the next thing.
Sure.
And so even if it's like, you know, it wasn't even so much the booze as it was like the socialize. They're like living in Hoboken, there's a bar across the street from where I live, like this, the culture of Hoboken is very like go out,
very
drinks.
Especially downtown where you live.
Exactly.
Sorry, not to we're gonna post the address on the show notes.
We got a little sponsorship going on with some bars here. No, just like being in Hoboken is just so centered like around alcohol.
Yeah.
That it's like, I moved here in 2021 and there's a bar across the street from me downtown by the path, like pretty much from my place to the path, it's just bars on every corner.
Sure.
And it's just fun. You know, you grab in Hoboken, it's like, you know, a lot of people aren't settled down. So like, you know, when you're in your 30s, you got to hit your friends up a month in advance to make some plan. In Hoboken, dude, what are you doing for dinner? You want to grab some drinks at this place? So it could be just a very spontaneous like hang that ends up going for like, yeah, we'll grab a cold one, and next thing you know, it's 2 a.m. and it's a weeknight and you're just plastered. So I think it's more the like addictive personality part of me that I was like, oh, this is fun, the socializing part is fun, that, you know, ended up kind of making it more than what it I guess should have been.
Sure.
But and like now I haven't, you know, it's been a while, but I am probably like a little less social, but still want to go out, like still want to just, and not necessarily out like party, but just like, you know, be, just go out and like watch a game elsewhere in like my place, or like, you know, or just doing comedy. It just makes me want to like do that more, you know, seeing other people and just kind of being in an environment. And I guess the cool part is comedy is such a like drink central place at a bar stuff. So.
Yeah, I was going to say too, it's like comedy, like it's still so accessible, alcohol.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like good to hear at least that, I don't know, it sounds like, you know, the low point is more about your like getting addicted to things rather than like the alcohol itself, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
Were there any other examples of like something that you've had like an addictive personality to?
At one point it was like exercising.
Yeah, I get that.
I lived in California for like 3 years. And there was one like local gym that I went to, great community and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up becoming friends with them. And like I would essentially DJ for them once a month. They'd have like a DJ themed workout, or like they'd have like a party. And they would just give me like membership for that. And it was like a pretty expensive gym. It was kind of like the closest to comparison is like an Orange Theory. It was like an Orange Theory on roids.
Sure.
Like very, very nice facility and all that. If you walked in there, it was like, there was like graffiti and stuff, but that was like the design of the place, so it kind of had like an old school like 90s like hip-hop type vibe, but it was such a dope like workout room. And then they would even throw like, and it was a good community, so they throw like their parties.
Sure.
And all that, so I was like, hey, you know, I could DJ for membership, so pretty much I was using my DJing to like membership for, or to go to the gym. And I would do that like as much as possible, probably like, you know, 6 days a week, sometimes twice a day. And it was fun. You feel great, but at some point your body like has the wear and tear.
Yeah.
And I was also younger. I was 24 at the time. Now I'm 32. And, you know, I also have like a gym that I go to here where it's, you know, good community, same thing. Like they'll have block parties all, you know, DJ for them and all that stuff. And it's just fun. Like, I could never go by myself to the gym, put headphones on, and do my own workout. It's more just like the environment where I'm at. So whether it's like a social environment, people drinking and having fun, or hitting a bag at the gym, or I'm on a treadmill trying to go as fast as I can or whatever, it's kind of like the environment and like community that ends up being like, it's like a sense of belonging, I guess. It's also like a tendency to like get carried away too, because there is such thing as overtraining. There is such thing as over drinking and all this.
One thing that stands out is just listening. It's like there's so much of like a socialization aspect to what you're talking about, whether it's the alcohol or the exercise. Do you think you found that in comedy a little bit more? So it's like, do you think it's like almost kind of like taken the place of that for your addictive personality?
I think more so like the writing part of it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I'm pretty social when it comes to comedy, but I'm usually like not hanging out at the bar afterwards or every now and then. Yeah. Hey, let's grab a bite or, you know, something for a little bit. But overall, it's that is very important to, you know, the hang, as we all know.
Yeah, the hang is vital.
Yeah, for sure.
If anyone's trying to get into comedy, the hang is.
Yeah, exactly.
45%.
Right. But, you know, the connections and all. Like, but it's also just like the, you know, the just the writing part of it. It's just, how do I make this better? Or I'm so in love with this bit and it sucks. Yeah. And this bit that I'm not too in love with that is doing better for whatever reason that I didn't even think was that great. So how do I make the one that I like better? So it's a lot of just like tweaking and writing and rewriting and all that. And, you know, sometimes there's a clear goal where it's like, okay, I want to get from A to B. I want to punch up this joke. I want to find another tag or a punchline. And sometimes it's just like a spiral of, I'm starting to write about one topic, I end up on four other topics.
Yeah.
So sometimes you get carried away, but I think a lot of that shift in like the addictive personality has maybe gone into like just getting comedy better, just like writing, which also be unhealthy to an extent if that's all you're doing. I mean, you can put that in any, you know, anything.
It's funny because like I feel like if you talk to a lot of comedians, there is something addictive about it that I think a lot of them will talk about. And in the same way, right, I've had a lot of I want to be careful with the way we're using addiction, but I think in the context of, you know, what we're saying, I think it's okay. But like, you know, being addicted to exercise, like you had said, I was in the same way, but more so like I was out of insecurity about like how my body looked and stuff like that. So I used to go all the time and stuff like that. The biggest vice, truthfully, I have now is weed is like huge for me right now.
Yeah.
But it's really just like a way to relax. But I do notice a lot of similar things to what we're talking about where it's like, how do I want to say this? Just in the sense that like it's become like a ritual for me, if that makes sense. Like in the same way the exercise did, in the same way that comedy does.
Is it the primary reason to relax, or it's also to kind of like, hey, let's get some ideas stirring?
Dude, you know, it's funny. It's like sometimes, I won't lie to you, sometimes I do like to, because it helps me step out of myself, especially with the solo show work, because a lot of it, and I'm excited to like, and you know, tell people all about it and what's coming up in the next few months, but basically it's like, it does help to like help me step outside of myself in that I can use it to take that step back that I need at the material and think, okay, what is the big picture here that I'm, what is Matt, the character in this show?
Yeah.
What is he going through? Which is sometimes difficult, like when you're in it, if that makes sense. But the downside to that is while it's helpful in that sense, I will use it as an excuse sometimes on nights where I know I probably should take a break, could take a break.
Yeah.
I don't, because I know that it's like, well, I'm really creative when I do nowadays. I drink nowadays instead of like smoking, but I'm like, if I have some, I'm going to be really good. But you know, I do notice that it leads to like a lot of like brain fog and stuff like that.
Right.
I'm not always, you know, super sharp days after I do it. So it's, but again, it's very interesting that we're having this conversation because again, it's like, it's definitely different than the addiction that people struggle with. And I don't want to say that what we're talking about is comparable to that, but there is something to like
There is a commonality between all of them.
And just like there is something with that lesser extent that we're talking about that I think a lot of people experience, whether it be alcohol, weed, or exercise.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's an activity that could be way more harmful than others, but at it's the same kind of mentality towards it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's really like it's a mental dependence rather than like a physical one.
Yeah.
If we're, you know, but were you ever like weed or anything like that?
More, I guess, so in college recently, probably like an edible every now and then.
All right, yeah,
and so. Which I'd rather smoke than like an edible because like it just gets out of your system quicker. And,
I
like,
know.
It's a good like couple hours or something. Yeah. Whereas like, dude, the edible, I remember getting some in Denver like a while ago and they were expired by the time I took them. They just sat like in my place for, and I had one. And dude, the whole day I was completely geeked. And I'm like, when is this going to end? And it just kept, and you know how they say like you sleep better. I couldn't even sleep at that point. I was just so like, we were talking about you being like hypochondriac, but like I'm so paranoid when it comes to that. And sometimes you can like control it. It's fun. It's a good time. You can watch TV, a movie, sports, whatever. And it's just like, it relaxes you. And sometimes I'm just like, you know, the movie that's showing is like, what's the hidden message behind this?
Is it symbolic of this?
Am I really? It can lead you to like a huge downward spiral.
And this is like, I don't know. We might look back at this later and be like, oh my God, what the fuck was he going through? But like, I was at an airport one time. I think it was, I was at a bar and I saw someone I kind of knew from work. And I was like, oh my God, is he following me while I was high? And I was like, oh no, that's the paranoia.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, we got to stop for a little
bit.
We got to, I think this gets into like what I want to talk about next, which is like, what is that mechanism for change that like you picked up on? Cause it wasn't an event, right? This isn't a story of I blacked out, I woke up in the street and like, you know, I stopped using alcohol like right after that, right?
Yeah.
It's like, what do you think changed in you that made you want to maybe just take your foot off the gas?
I think just seeing how harmful it is, because you see like the studies that like, you know, the cancer caused. I just had a colonoscopy because me thinking, oh, you know, it's better to be, you know, safe than sorry checking it.
Yeah.
So, and also just like, you know, liver health in general.
Sure.
Like, you know, I've heard many stories about people getting cirrhosis at like an early age and liver failure at like an early age. So I was like, before that happens, like, let me at least strengthen it to, you know, what it could be and make sure my organs are being treated, you know, treat the body right in general. But I think just reading a lot of, you know, studies and all that how detrimental it can be, which I guess it's easier nowadays because you have the studies, you have more people, like Gen Z isn't really drinking as much. A lot of people that are known to drink aren't really drinking, as celebrities, all this. A lot of them, you know, are kind of off booze or what made them famous for partying and, you know, all that. Some of them have different stories of like detrimental routes and all that.
Sure.
Some of them are just like, hey, I want to take care of my body better. And it's also just like, you know, getting older, you're going to have to emphasize more of the health on your body. So,
dude, that's a big thing too, is like, I realized with like this most recent doctor visit, it's like, cause I'm 29. I know I'm not like, we're not super old, right? We're still relatively
young. To the point where like, we've been kids our whole lives.
Yes.
So once you start seeing a little change, even if it's not huge, it's like, once you start seeing a little bit, you're like, dude, this wasn't me 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So now it's not a huge change, but it's the biggest change we know up until this point.
Totally.
So it kind of makes you rethink some things.
And this is really also the first time in my life where I used to always, and again, and I'm sure you can relate, I always exercised, I always did everything, but this is the first time that I've took like a relatively long break from it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a wake up call to be like, oh no, I need to learn how to take care of myself in a different way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, like I need to be cognizant about all the foods I'm putting in my body and things like that. Going to these early screenings for colon cancer,
right.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Dude, that's another part of it. Just eating in general is it used to not be as much of a, I don't want to call it a vice, but like, just the emphasis on,
dude, it's so accessible,
it's so good
now.
Bro.
Yeah. Talk about our addictive personalities, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for me too, did you ever have that with food? Did you ever have like?
I probably have it more now than any.
That's
any
really
time
interesting.
Else,
okay.
It's just like, okay, this meal I can pig out, and tomorrow diet starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
And every now and then I'll have like something like an alternative, better option.
Right.
But overall, it's like, dude, are you really going to miss out on the burger at this restaurant? But how many times does that happen? You know, that burger looks so good.
Yeah.
You're really going to miss out on the pizza? How often do we come here? It's almost just like me reasoning with myself for this time I'll do it. Next time I'll be, you know, I'll choose like the salad or choose just like a better option. And it, I don't want to say it never happens, but it doesn't happen as often as it ideally should. So
yeah.
I think a big shift that I'm, a goal I'm trying to get to is just eating better in general. Like the booze, okay, we cut that.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, focus on the other things we consume that can be just as harmful, frankly.
Yeah, same here, man. And again, we come back to like, think about the accessibility of food right now. It has never been easier in the history of humankind to have processed food show up right at your doorstep.
Yeah.
All at like what seems like a click of a button.
Yeah.
And it's so tempting, especially when we come home, we're tired, we don't want to cook and stuff like that.
Dude, and the thing is, it's, at least it's kind of shitty how expensive it is, but that's also a reason to be like, should I really be ordering two things for like $50?
Yeah.
You know, if it was, imagine if it's cheap, there'd be no stopping. There'd be no reason to stop.
Yeah, man. If you could get like a snack wrap or something for, or like the snack wraps or something. For
Crunch
like
Wrap Supreme.
Oh, dude.
Cinnamon rolls.
Oh, the Cinnasticks or whatever, Domino's. Dude, you ever, this hurts. And it's like,
yeah, let's go down a fast food. Yeah, we're just talking about how bad it is. We're trying to do better with our bodies. What's your favorite thing?
Have you, literally, have you ever like got or ordered Uber Eats or something like that?
All the time.
Well, no. Have you ever tried it? No, but have you ever gotten it and it just doesn't hit?
Dude, yeah.
That's the worst feeling in the world.
And my girl, we got, what did we get? She wanted bubble tea. Mm-hmm. We got bubble tea. This happened 2 days in a row. We ordered bubble tea for one spot and it like, one of them, the driver spilled it. So we ordered like three drinks. The driver spilled one, so we were down to like two.
All right, we're good. We're back.
We're back? All right, cool.
We're back, sorry. I'll cut all that out, so we're good. You're talking about bubble tea, driver spilled.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, so day one, we ordered from this place that she's been wanting to order before. She moved to Providence, so she had like a Jersey, New York, like bucket list, so she wanted to get some food from one spot. It was like the week of packing, so we weren't like available to go to all these spots. We're like, all right, we'll order some Uber Eats, and we ordered from one place, and it was like okay, but it was just like very... The way it was handled was like, you know, kind of spilled and all that. And it was just so, the food was all right. It wasn't worth like the price. But I think the tipping point was more of it. The drink was like halfway spilled. And it got into like the bag of food. So now that was like leaky and all that. So it was just like a shitty experience. And then the next day we ended up getting bubble tea. We got three cups of bubble tea and the driver just like, I think he made it with it on the bike ride, and he told me he was like at the lobby of the apartment at like the concierge. He just like spilled or dropped it or something. He like had a photo and everything.
Oh,
I'm
no.
like, dude, you made the trip. It was right at the end.
Yeah.
So, and the guy, I kind of felt sorry for him. He was just like, please don't report me. Don't do that. And I'm like, all right, I'll you know, get like a refund. I'll say something happened, you know? So like, we'll be all right. But it was just two times in a row. And I've had it happen like every now and then. But those 2 days in a row, I'm like, fuck Uber Eats. Like, I'm not.
I know.
This is what I get for being lazy and all
that. Well, in the case where it's not like a, you know, it's not the delivery fault or something like that.
Yeah.
When it's just like the quality of the food, man. You just like you're sitting there eating crappy food and you're just like, this is so expensive.
Yeah.
And it's so not doing anything right now. But like, going back to like the addictive side of it, right? There are... I don't know if you felt this way, but like there are some nights, especially, you know, like being overweight now, like I would binge and I would just like feel this need to binge on food.
Yeah.
And in the same way that like it was flipped when I was like exercising all the time.
Yeah.
So it's just something
especially late nights when like, because you don't have a plan of like what you're eating. A lot of it is just on the whim. All right, this place that I'm doing a mic at or a show has food. Let me just grab a bite.
Right.
All right. I don't want to, you know, eat at like 5, but like not eat until, you know, for the rest of the night, let me grab something later, and then I'm having that slice that I shouldn't have, which turned into two slices or whatever.
Yeah.
So, dude, pizza, man.
Pizza's a tough one, especially dollar slices and stuff in New York.
Yeah, New York.
Not
just
that those are, like, the quality slices to get, but still.
Well, or even here, dude, Tony Bologna's.
Tony Bologna's is so good. And, it's, you know, we can end on this because we always try and end on, like, what... what would you say to someone who's going through something similar? And this is interesting because I think we might both have, we could do it like together, because I think we both share that addictive personality thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, like, Andre, what would you say to someone who's like maybe just realized that they also have those qualities in themselves for like an addictive personality?
I don't even, I'm still trying to answer that myself.
Yeah, I know. You know? That's the thing.
I think the least harmful thing is find something that you can focus that all on, that it's like you can focus like a creative aspect. But at the end of the day, it's like having an addictive personality is like, I feel like deep down there's something that might not made necessarily need to be corrected, but that there's something that you can probably unfold from that. And be like, okay, why am I like this in general? Totally. No matter what, even if it's like a healthy thing you're doing. Because you can overdo anything.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
But yeah, I think it's like, why do I have this? What is kind of behind all of it? And then, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. But at least if I'm going to do something, find something that I'm, you know, habitually like passionate about, that I can put all that, if I can't shake it, I can put all that, you know, into something and make it like a positive.
Well, and I really want to focus in on something you said, which is that even if it's a healthy addiction like exercise, it still may be unhealthy deep down. And this is what we're going to circle all the way back to talking about colon health.
It's a callback.
But this is, it's a callback, baby. But talking about, like, I was obsessed at one point because I was in great shape in college. I gained a bunch of weight during the pandemic. And then over a year, I was like, I'm going to get back to my college weight.
Yeah.
So it was like I gained and lost like over 50 pounds in like a 2 or 3 year span. And I remember I was trying out diets, and I talked about this on Kelly Taylor's I Feel Fat Today podcast, which is a great episode. You can check it out. I talked about how I tried the keto diet. Have you ever tried that one?
I haven't tried.
Okay. No. You shouldn't, because no fiber in that diet, or very
that's
little.
No fiber.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you're like not taking care of yourself or finding a specific way to do it where you are. I know very few people who've done keto that do. Dude, I was like, not to be crude or whatever, I was like shitting blood. Because it was like, I was not putting the right things into my body.
Yeah.
But whatever. But I was like obsessed because I was still losing weight.
Right.
But I didn't realize it was because, not because of the keto diet. It was because I was just eating less calories.
Yeah.
Because I was leaving out all carbs.
Yeah. Dude, everybody's right? body's so different, too.
That's the thing.
Somebody can go on like the plant-based and excel for a while. And at some point, it's like, you know, you need nutrients. But every, you know, somebody could be for the rest of their lives on a plant-based and thrive, and somebody could do carnivore, and that's the diet that works for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, cut out carbs, cut out whatever it is. I think everybody's gonna find like what works for them, which I'm still, you know, it's a trial and error thing, I guess. But like my one coworker I used to have, he said, he's like a pretty big dude, he works out all the time, and he said at one point he was like peeing tomato juice because he was putting too much protein, and it was like something in the whey protein that was causing his kidneys to just like be squeezed. Yeah, he was like, dude, my kidneys were messed up.
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
Yeah, and he was like, dude, is this a sign of something else? And turns out it was like his kidneys weren't in good shape, but they weren't at the point where they were like failing, or like it was, you know, something death like threatening.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was, yeah, and he found out it was like the whey protein he was using had some, I guess, chemical in it, or some thing that he was like allergic to had a reaction, and he was literally like peeing out blood. And he was like, I'm thinking I'm healthy. I'm thinking I'm working out all the time, lifting, running, everything. And something like that could, you know, pour it over.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. And it's, we go back to because my mom's a nurse, my brother's a nurse, my brother's a doctor. Like, it's preventive care is so important, no matter how well you take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you just have to be. Because a lot of these things you can address if they're found early,
right,
is the thing. And you can get addicted to that, too.
Dude,
you
can,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can get addicted to thinking you're a hypochondriac and that you're always sick.
Exactly, yeah.
It's everywhere, man.
My
We're
doctor
all just
was
addicted
telling,
to stuff.
He was telling me that. He was like, dude, I used to be a germaphobe and hypochondriac. Now he's like, it's caused so much anxiety.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't care. It's that, like, I know it can, even if I'm so worried about it, that's detrimental to your health, too. Being, you know, stressed and
totally.
Having the anxiety and, like, I'm dating a doctor too. Aisha's a doctor. So she's
Humble
like,
brave.
She's way more, yeah. So she's way more like knowledgeable about these things than I am. So you know, it's good to have somebody to talk to about all that stuff and like, hey, does this have any validation? Is this, am I just being a hypochondriac? Is there something?
It is so much more of an advantage than it should be in this country to have a relative who's a doctor.
Yeah.
Because like you can just talk to them, not relative or significant other,
right,
but you can just have them on dial to be like, hey, what's going on? Do I need to see somebody about this or whatever? And it's really paid dividends. So if you can, convince your siblings to, or significant other, to become a doctor. Also, you get to just flex on me like that. Like, I'm just kidding.
Hey, well, that's because of you, dude. That's because of your bookstore.
Oh, sorry, you met her at the show.
That's how.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, long story short.
You were performing or no?
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to go. It was like one of the Thursday night shows last May. And I remember last minute, you were like, hey, dude, you want to do some time? And I'm like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And, yeah, she was in the crowd. She followed me on the gram after a little bit because you always post like the comics, you know. Hey, if you want to show some love, you like them, follow the comics. So she followed me, and I thought she was cute, so I just started DMing her. And I had no idea that's where she, because usually from comedy, there's like some mutual following on the gram. So I'm like, how does this girl know me? And the last picture was from like Pennsylvania, from some like talk that she did in Gettysburg. So I'm like, how does this girl know me? It can't be through comedy. And then I started talking to her, and she's like, "Yeah, I went to the bookstore show." And so we started talking, and we've been together ever since.
People fuck at that show.
Yeah, bro. Okay? That's not the first time.
Not the first time. Not the last.
Yeah,
we had Sam Frank, who's another great comedian. I'm gonna have him on the podcast at some point. He picks up. He's done the show twice. He picked up two different women. He's two for two,
damn,
man.
Yeah,
it's just like, you know, he's also an author, and it's like the bookstore. I get it. It's the perfect situation for him.
Yeah.
So he's just trying to, you know.
Dude, but if you're single, if you want to spice things up in general, go to this guy's show.
Yes, come to this show. It'll also spice up your sex life, your relationship, your career. It'll do everything and all that for you. And it's only $15 and BYOB.
Shout out to Symposia.
Shout out to Symposia.
That's right.
Going on.
And you're surrounded by books, so you do feel pretty intelligent.
Books, man. All that stuff.
You know Osmosis back in school? It's like a comedy show with Osmosis. You're just surrounded by books.
I love you. Andre Malhotra, tell the people where they can find you.
Bro, Swanky Panky on Instagram.
Great Instagram handle.
That's right. Matt, thank you for having me, man.
Dude, you're the man. I'm so grateful for our friendship, dude.
Absolutely, dude.
So grateful for you. Hilarious comedian. Dude, you're the man. And
dude,
I'm so
likewise,
excited
man.
To
this guy's
on.
A big reason why, you know, I'm still in comedy, with Symposia and all that.
We're gonna cut all that out. So it's okay. He's just talking to nobody. Dude, thank you so much.
Appreciate it, man.
Of course, man. And here's to hoping we left you a little
higher.
Later.
We did it,
dude. Hell yeah.
Fucking quick.